Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Michael Denk, currently the parochial vicar of St. Joseph Parish in Amherst. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. So glad to be with you and with all of you at Living Bread Radio.
Yeah, it's great having you here. We're going through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we've been talking about salvation and grace. So today, Father, our topic is grace. So let's define, what is grace?
Okay, so we are a faith of Scripture and tradition, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of both. So the tradition teaches us, so in the actual Catechism, 1997, says that grace is a participation in the life of God. So as we were talking about yesterday and the days before, grace ultimately, it's not a thing. You know, it's not like God gives us this thing. Grace is participating in the love of
it's
God.
It's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
It's a way of living.
It's God. You know, the Catechism says it's ultimately God's favor. God giving us his favor in his relationship. God living and moving and being in us. So that's the tradition part of it, which also is born from Scripture as well. So Ephesians chapter 2, 8-9 says that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast." So grace is never our doing. It's never, it's often debated. It's never our works. It's ultimately God's grace who is at work within us.
So grace is a gift that's freely given by God.
Right. It's a gift freely given. So that's the first part. The second part also has to be freely received. God will never force himself on us or manipulate us or make us do anything. He offers the gift. And that's where it's up to us not only to receive it, it's not a thing, remember, it's a relationship. So to participate in this relationship, to become friends with this Christ, to become one with this Christ and God.
So isn't that where a lot of folks, Catholics as well as non-Catholics, can get a little confused about what we believe about salvation? Again, on one hand, we believe that we're saved by grace, mm-hmm. the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, which is a free gift.
Right.
On the other hand, faith without works is dead,
and
we have a responsibility to do something if we really believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
Right, yeah, so it's ultimately, you know, and I think hopefully we're saying the same thing, but the big debate is between faith alone and faith in works. So we obviously believe as Catholics it's faith in works. We don't mean to say that it's our works that bring about salvation. But again, grace is not an object. It's not a thing. So you can't just say, okay, I'm going to take this thing and I'm saved. It's by actually participating in this grace, participating in this relationship, working in this relationship that it comes about. So that's where we kind of get the whole idea of faith and works.
Another point we can make, Father, is as Catholics, we don't believe in the once saved, always saved idea, because as you mentioned, while it's a gift that's freely given, mm-hmm. we have the option of refusing that gift at any point. And by explaining it as a relationship
right.
with Jesus as opposed to a thing,
yes.
the grace can be rejected some point down the road. So at some point down the road, we can say, we don't want a relationship with our Lord anymore. So basically, we can walk away from the free gift of grace and the free gift of salvation.
Yeah, and ultimately, this whole life is a time for us to come to know Christ. We have this whole life here to accept or reject him. You know, and ultimately, we come to the last judgment, and that's the final. That's the final acceptance or rejection. But we live this whole life now as a time to come to know him. Again, God doesn't want to force himself on us. He's freely giving us this opportunity to get to know him and to enter into this relationship with him. And hopefully, we'll choose to continue and remain, as he says, remain in my love.
That's why I think as Christians it's so important that we have a daily prayer life. Because when you have a daily prayer life, you're nourishing that relationship with Jesus. You can't love somebody that you don't know. So by having a daily prayer life, you have that, hopefully, a two-way conversation with God, where we're not only talking to God, but we're also being quiet and listening to what God has to say to us. But by having that daily practice and that daily habit of prayer, we're in the habit of saying yes to God's free gifts.
You're very right, and it needs to be a real... our former Holy Father, Pope Benedict, you know, who is since retired, says it needs to be a deep prayer, a prayer of solitude, that we are immersed into the life of Christ. Again, because grace is not a thing, it's a relationship. We have to spend quality time really coming to know and fall in love with Christ. So it really is, you know, the saints and the mystics traditionally have said spending a holy hour, making a holy hour every day, and there's no better place to do that than in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You know, so if your church has perpetual adoration, or even driving home from work, if you can stop in a church and just make some time to pray. The Catechism says prayer won't just happen, we have to actually make the time for it. Not only is that private prayer important, but the communal prayer is important. So, Tim, as you would always say, the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. So not only do we need to have this interior relationship with Jesus, but we need to also experience him outside of us through other people in the context of the Eucharist. You know, so it's ultimately, too, when we come together at the table of our Lord that we experience the fulfillment, the grace shared amongst us all.
We were talking off-air before we started taping today's show of how if everybody really understood that Jesus is really and truly present in the Eucharist, and all the grace that we obtain, not just for ourselves and our loved ones, but indeed for the whole world, the whole community, the church militant, the suffering, if we would realize that, the churches would be overflowing with people, not just on Sundays, but all throughout the week.
Yeah, so if you find yourself listening right now and you're struggling, you don't have to live this life alone. And God, in a very real way, wants you to experience him primarily through the sacraments, you know, through coming together in the Eucharist, through the sacraments of confession and, you know, for matrimony and ordained priesthood and ultimately baptism, that you can be baptized into the life and death and resurrection of Christ. That's grace.
So, Father, what more could Jesus do than to give us his very self and all of himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist? What more could he do for us?
Yeah, and that's what he's not only has done, but is doing right there. When you come to Mass, he is giving you his very essence, his body, and his blood. He wants to be in you. He wants to be so a part of you. So, you know, in the Eucharist, we do experience Christ in many ways, but particularly in four. In the Liturgy of the Word, when we hear that word proclaimed, his saving grace is being revealed to us. We hear the voice of God. We see and encounter God in the community, the people that are gathered around us in the gathered assembly. In a very real way, we experience him in the priest, who becomes in persona Christi, who becomes Christ for us at the Eucharist, and ultimately, when we receive him in the body and blood, we're encountering and receiving God.
You know, I've had it said to me that I don't get anything out of Mass. I don't go to church anymore because I don't get anything out of the Mass. So one of my first questions is, what do you put into the Mass? Mm-hmm. How do you prepare? Do you study the readings before you go to Mass? Right. Do you say some prayers to condition your soul in your mind to be able to go and worship and praise and thank God?
Yeah, and Tim, that's where you said before that we do need to have this prayer life. So during the week, every day, we do need to have a prayer life. We are where we're coming to know Jesus. We're praying with the Scripture. We're meditating. We're contemplating. We're being loved by him so that when we come to the Eucharist, we've been preparing the whole week to enter into this. So the church kind of expects us to prepare, to have prayed with the readings, to meditate upon them, to think about them, to reflect on them, to rest with them, to sit with them, to love them, and so that when we do come together, it does mean something. So if church doesn't mean anything to you, I just ask you the question, first of all, are you preparing? Are you praying every day solidly? You know, are you putting good time in prayer before you come to Mass? If you do that, it's going to mean a lot more to you.
Isn't that one of the reasons the church requires the ordained clergy to do the divine office, to be immersed in the scriptures all throughout the day.
Yeah.
From the first thing in the morning.
So the Eucharist is a source and summit, but throughout the week, we pray. You're supposed to do it at 3 in the morning. The office of readings, morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, vespers, night prayer, that the whole day throughout the week, we're constantly living in this Word of God. So if you don't have a solid prayer life, I just encourage you to find ways that you can do that.
So, Father, what does God's grace do to us?
Okay, so God's grace does have effect. God's grace does something to us if we participate in this grace. The UCAT says God's grace brings us into the inner life of the Trinity, into the exchange of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God's grace, what it particularly does, is immerses you into this life of Christ, into the Holy Trinity. This ultimately is the effect of grace. And again, that's salvation. When you're living with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's what makes us allows us to turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel.
So we're not only made in the image and likeness of God, but as St. Augustine says, our hearts long to be with God. They're restless until they find their rest in thee. So being made in the image and likeness of God, we want that union with God and that share in God's life, which is the grace that he offers
right.
us.
Right. And why would you want to wait for heaven to experience that? You know, because we can begin to experience that and fully experience that right here on earth. So salvation is not just about waiting till the day you die and hoping somebody comes and baptizes you. It's entering into his life right now, into the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You know, Easter is one of my favorite holidays, if not my favorite, the favorite holiday. And in the Catholic Church, we get to experience Easter every day and every time we go to Mass. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Easter all over because Jesus is at Calvary, and we're brought into that sacred mystery of being able to participate and give ourselves completely and unite ourselves completely with Christ's once and for all
right.
sacrifice.
And he unites himself with us. So ultimately, that means that you're suffering, whatever you're going through right now in life, you're not suffering that alone. You're not suffering that. Christ is suffering that in you as he never has before. He is working in you to bring about your salvation.
That's a great point, Father. And sometimes I know I'm guilty of forgetting that myself, that anytime I'm struggling, Christ is always with me. It's mm-hmm. not me alone.
Yeah.
And so I have this male mentality, I think, and this American mentality of if it's to be, it's
and
up to me.
And that's that rugged individualism, yeah, which is the big delusion that we're living under. But ultimately, no, you're not doing it alone. As a matter of fact, Christ is doing it in you and through you. And when we discover that, we're willing to go through anything because we know that we'll be with him.
So the Catholic Church teaches that we're saved by the grace of God. So can someone earn heaven by good works?
So no, we cannot earn heaven by good works. That's a clear no. Nothing that you or I do by ourselves can earn us heaven. It's ultimately a gift that's given by God, this relationship that is granted to us and given by God. Hopefully the works will show, the love will show in what we do, but that's a result of the love of God that's been given to us.
So again, we're saved by God's grace. Great. Well, we've been listening to Father Michael Denk, and we've been going through the UCAT, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Until next time, this has been Tim Perry, your host. May God bless you. Bye now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.